Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. And this has been the foundation scripture for our trust challenge. Is that my mic? Anyway, keep on going. Let me read this to you out of the Message translation. We'll just put it up on the screen. Proverbs 3, verse 5, Message translation. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. That's a good word for somebody. All of us. Listen for God's voice. He's got a voice. He's speaking today. In everything you do, everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track. And I really like that because God's got a track for your life. He's got a track. Anybody been to Disney World, Disneyland? They have the monorail. Love riding that thing, and it's on a track. And it may wind and go all over the place, and you may be wondering if you're going to get to your destination, but it takes you there. Maybe not as fast as you think you should be going. Let's skip the other mic, guys. Let's just go. But he's got us on a track. And the enemy's got a track for you. People may have a track. Maybe your flesh has a track that it wants to go. Your mind. But the Spirit of God has a track individually for each one of you. And it's our job to hear from Him. It's our job to listen to Him. And it's our job, we're singing these songs this morning. I hope that you're consecrating yourself. I hope you're saying things like, not what I want, but it's what you want. Not my will, but your will be done. I want what He wants. He's created me for a purpose and a reason, and I want to do what He created me to do. So how will He direct my paths? How will He keep me on track? Turning your Bibles over to John 16, verse 7. Read this from the Amplified Version. Love the book of John, 13, 14, 15, 16, those chapters, 17, great chapters. If you're looking for something to read, read those chapters. But I'm going to read this from the Amplified, verse 7, John 16, verse 7. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth. You want to hear the truth? What I say, it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. This is Jesus talking. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, everybody say Comforter. The Comforter, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. He's the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby, we could add other words, encourager, empowerer, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And this is the brilliance of God's plan, the brilliance of Jesus going away so that the Holy Spirit could come. And instead of everybody having to be physically with Jesus to have miracles, to have His power, to have His guidance, to have His truth, now the Spirit of God can live in each one of us. And Jesus can be all over the world at one time. Isn't that amazing? So this is better than Jesus being physically with us. You have to catch that by faith. And so it was part of His plan. So the Spirit of God could come and live in us. And it says here to be in close fellowship with you. And we know that word fellowship means partnership. It means sharing. And so not only does the Holy Spirit want to be in you and He wants to be in close fellowship, He wants to be in relationship with you, He wants to share, He wants to talk to you, show you things to come, bring all things to your remembrance. So let's keep on reading. Let's go down to verse 13. Again, I'm reading out of the Amplified. But when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, that's good, comes, He will guide. Everybody say guide. He will guide you into all the truth, the whole, the full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that's been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify Me because He will take of, receive, draw upon what is Mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. And so I like this part about Him being a guide. Now, sometimes you hate to say that because other groups that are not Christian groups have taken that word and done some things with it, and they call guides, and it's not really of God. It's of the enemy. So I hesitate to go down this track, but this is Bible here. And so the Holy Spirit is our guide. He's going to be our tour guide on the monorail. He's going to be the tour guide on the track. Okay? You see that? And so a guide is a person who advises or shows the way to others. Now, I have got this book that I'm reading, and I want to read a little bit out of this book. Got my glasses, handy-dandy glasses here. And this is a book about a guy that, it's a book about goal setting, but it's a guy about a guy that was sick and ill, and his father died of a heart attack, and he saw himself at 50 going the same direction. And so he decided to make some changes in his life and get healthy, and he'd end up climbing mountains like the Matterhorn. You know, difficult. This is the story of his journey. And so this part of the book is entitled My First Priority. He says this: one of the most important principles that mountain climbing taught me is that you don't conquer fears by saying little cliches to yourself. You act. You take the first step towards your most immediate goal. In doing so, you make the critical move from the position of fear into the arena of conflict. Then and only then can you get your mind and heart into what you are doing. My first priority was to meet my guide. Now, he's gone through a series of climbing expeditions, and he's going to tackle the big one. And so his first priority is to meet his guide. The Matterhorn is no mountain for an Indiana flatlander to treat casually. I learned enough about mountain climbing to know that the most important step was to seek out an expert guide. Alphonse Franzen, a 6'2 German-speaking Swiss, was my choice. I learned about him from reading and asking questions, and I specifically requested him. He consented to evaluate me and to see what I could do before he would lead me to the top of the mountain of my dreams. When I shook his hand, it was firm. His steady eyes seemed to penetrate to the deepest regions of my soul as he sized me up. I knew I made the right choice. Here was a man I could believe in, a person I could trust with my life and my dream. But Alphonse was not given to snap judgments. I thought I had seen a glimmer of approval in his eyes. He looked me over. He said, "We'll see," was all the commitment he was ready to make. Our lives and his reputation were on the line. He wasn't about to risk either on an American he didn't know. I knew I'd have to prove myself before this man who would trust me to follow him to the top of the Matterhorn. There would be a period of testing. Alphonse and I hiked to the Rifflehorn the next day so that he could test my skills, conditioning, and attitudes. The Rifflehorn is the qualifying peak for all who dare to take on the Matterhorn. This was my final exam. We climbed up and down the treacherous slopes of the rocks of the rifle hone twice. Each day of each step of the way, I marveled at Alphonse's deliberate moves and confidence. He watched my every move, the way I handled the rope, the way I placed my hands and feet, the way I followed directions. With cool detachment, he evaluated everything I did and said. There was not the faintest clue in his voice or his eyes to let me know how I was doing. Finally, late in the afternoon, we finished the test. I waited for some indication as to whether I made it. I dared not ask, for I had the feeling that it would be interpreted as a sign of weakness by this rugged, confident man of the mountains. Slowly, he loosened the rope from my waist, let it fall, and stood looking me square in the eyes. I thought I saw a slight trace of a smile at the corner of his mouth. "Well, John," he said at last, "it's going to be difficult for you, but I think we're going to make it together." And in there, he talks about the guide going before him up this, I mean, some points at the of the mountain, it's like, it's going up, but then it's going over your head. Could you imagine? You know, tens of thousands of feet up there, but he had this guide, and he followed him all along the way, someone who knew where he was going. And we have a better guide than Alphonse, as good as he is. We've got a comforter. We've got an advocate. We've got a counselor. We've got an intercessor. We've got a standby. We've got an encourager, someone that's going to help us on our track. And so this guide, the Holy Spirit, he's going to help you to get where you need to go. He already knows the way. He knows the best route. He will help you avoid danger. He will adapt to your pace. He will prepare you for what's ahead. He will encourage you along the way. He will teach you what you need to know to succeed. And without a guide, you will not make it to your destination. So are we seeing the importance of the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him daily. We need Him in our lives. And He wants to come and live in us, but not just be in us. He wants to be an active part of our lives. But see, it's totally up to us whether we allow Him, how much leeway we give Him. It's totally up to us to talk to Him. It's totally up to us to confer with Him. It's totally up to us to allow Him to move in our lives. See how powerful our will is? Our will is more powerful than God in our lives. Because God just can't come in and do things in your life unless you allow it to happen. God is not in control. You're in control. And you make the decisions, and you call the shots, and he's delegated authority to you. And we can want to pass it off to everybody else, but we're the ones that decide. Now, God's got an amazing plan. He's given us a guide. But many people in the church are not even aware there is a guide. I mean, he passed away. I mean, the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, many of our churches today, we hide it, we disguise it, we don't want to talk about it. Well, we don't want to talk about that tongue thing. We're going to offend somebody. I don't really care if you're offended. I'm trying to save your life. Where you go to church and what you listen to and what you hear is life and death. And if you're hearing a bunch of religion and a bunch of people playing games and a bunch of people playing patty cake and kind of watering it down to tickle your ears, well, when the crisis comes, what's going to be inside of you to help you through a crisis? I want, and I know God wants, I want you to find your track. I want you to get on it And I want you to go, despite all the obstacles and all the enemy throws at your way, I want you to get on track and start moving towards your destination. He's created you for something great. He's created you to do something for His kingdom. He's created you to meet needs. He's created you to give life. He hasn't created you to be comfortable and to get by and to live the American dream. Pastor Matt, he's so sweet. I was, years ago, I worked for a company called Federal Paperboard that merged with International Paper. And I started off in general accounting and did my job. I did my different things that I talk about. Show up on time, work hard, have a good attitude, think. Those are things I do for promotions. Got my promotion to cost accounting. Doesn't that sound exciting? I love cost accounting, and did that, and did my four things, and after some time, I was promoted to what's called a controller of a plant up in Johnston, South Carolina. And the controller is the head; he controls people. No, but the controller is the head accounting person. But in our plant, did like the safety, did the information technology, did human resources, security. I was head over all these different areas. And so had worked for the company about 5 years, and so I was up there in Johnson doing the job. We had started the church, so I was doing that and doing the church. Susie was basically leading things, and I would show up on Sundays and preach, you know, basically. Well, doing my things. What are the things? Show up on time. Okay, you said them. That's good. All right, give you credit for that. All right, so did those things. Been strong. Working together to get the job done. Okay, well, there's a whole... I got a call from my boss saying that there was an opening. You know, Johnson's about 50 minutes away. And I had that route down to get there. I mean, I could get there in about 48 to 50 minutes, you know, through all the different speed traps and all the different, you know, had it all worked out, 48 to 50 minutes, okay? And so I get a call, and there's an opening at the Augusta plant where I used to work at the paper mill, but this is the sawmill right next door. There was an opening there for my same position, the controller position, at the Augusta mill. And the Augusta mill is bigger. I'd be making more money, more benefits, better office, more employees, more staff, more people to control, more prestige in the company. Always, I mean, and then it's 25 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes to work. Now, who here thinks that's a no-brainer? That's an open door from God, right? That's pretty much a done thing. I mean, you list all the pros, and there's 50 of those and a couple cons. And so, I mean, this is just an open door. I just need to go through it and take it, right? Well, I've learned over the years, been walking with God for over 30 years, and I've got kind of a process that I go through when I'm making big decisions. Can I share that with you? And one of the first things I do is I go to the Word. I go to the Word of God, and what does God's Word have to say about this decision? And I don't go by my memory or what I read 15 years ago or 10 years. I actually open up my Bible and go find specific scriptures, even ones that I know, and I'll go back and read it and say it. And most of the times I have 3 to 5 scriptures, maybe more. And then as I'm going through those scriptures, a couple of them really minister. I feed on those all the time. Because I've learned to launch my prayers. Prayer is important, right? To launch my prayers from the platform of the Word. So that I know if I'm speaking God's Word back to Him, according to 1 John 5, He's going to hear my prayer and respond to it. Right? Second thing I do is pray, just like I was saying. I will pray what I know in English, and then I'll pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, it's the language of the Holy Spirit. It's the language of heaven. It's the Holy Spirit praying through my spirit that comes out in words that I don't understand in my mind. And then, according to the Corinthians, it says, pray in the Spirit, I'll pray with my understanding. I ask God to help me interpret those prayers. And sometimes He'll show me things while I'm praying. Other times it comes down the road. But I'm trusting Him, according to His Word, that He's going to bring back understanding to my mind. That's where I need the information. Next thing I'll do is talk to trusted counselors. People in my life, Holy Spirit people that I trust, that aren't going to blab all the information, that are going to listen and can give me wise counsel. But even then, it may not always work because I talked to somebody that I really trusted about starting Good News Church, and he told me absolutely not. And that set me back, but I've kept on praying, and that was the thing to do. And he was a pastor, and he was like, you don't want to be a pastor. So talk with trusted counselors. If you can't talk to a trusted counselor about your decision, I would say 99% of the time, that's the wrong decision. Now that is a nugget that's worth a lot, and I hope you heard that. If you can't talk to someone you trust about the decision you're about to make, then 99.9% of the time, it's the wrong decision or the wrong timing. Why are you afraid to talk to someone you trust? Oh, man, that's worth $1 million. Just write me a check for that. Matt Judd. MATTJUDD. Then take steps in the direction of the decision. So I went through the process for this job. I went to the interviews, went down to Augusta, found out all the information about the job. I took steps. And I am looking on the inside to my guide. I'm not looking to pros and cons. I'm not looking to the American dream. I'm not looking to be comfortable. I'm not looking to what Susie may want or would make her happy. As important she is. Now we talk about everything. We're going to be in agreement. But it's not about in the natural, more money or being more comfortable and all. That's not what it's about. It's about being on track. It's about the will of God. It's about the plan of God. It's not about me. It's about what He wants. And so even though my flesh will say, yeah, I want that. I mean, if I'm going through my process, it's going to become clear on the inside what to do. The next thing I do is I confess who I am. I talk to myself every day, and I still do this whether I'm making a big decision or not. I'm in the right place. You've heard this 1,000 times. The right place at the right time with the right people saying the right things. I know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. I say these things to myself. I know the voice of the good shepherd, the voice of the stranger I do not follow. What am I doing? I'm talking to myself. I believe I can hear from God. I have ears to hear. eyes to see, heart that is receptive. And so, and through this process, and this is the way that I look at it, and you can say it however you want. I mean, I know different reading I've done, different things. But here's some of the things that are going to happen. You're going to have a green light, a red light, or a yellow light. Can't make it any more simpler than that. A green light is, yes, continue to go forward. A red light is, no, stop. This is not it. A yellow light may be, you know, this may be right, but in the future. Now, let me just say this. The bigger the decision, the more time I'm going to spend in the process. Did you hear me there? The bigger the decision. Like, if I'm in Costco looking at a pair of socks, I'm not going to go over in aisle 7 and... Yeah, I mean, I'm going to call Sean for... Sean, what do you think I should do? Pulling out my scriptures, pacing the aisles about hearing from God. I mean, I may miss it. I mean, you know, I bought these socks at Costco right here. You like them? You like that leg? I didn't call Nate. I didn't call Susie. And if I may have missed it, but that's not going to destroy my family. Now, if we're talking about who you're going to marry, I'm doing that process times 10. And I'm not looking at anybody, but who you marry can be heaven or hell. See, my eyes are locked in on you, Nate. We're just having a conversation. There's nobody else in the room. It's just you and me, buddy. I had 58 things written down that I wanted in a wife. And this woman over here exceeded all 58 of them. She is Ephesians 3:20. Super abundantly more than I can ask or think. A job, career choice, school, mission field. And see, what the enemy wants to do is get you in a hurry. Get you in a hurry to pressure you to get off your game so he can get you off track. Whenever you're feeling that pressure, that's not God. You ever been with a used car salesman? Is Reuben here today? Reuben, so I could talk about it. Okay, I was edit it from the CD. Or just tell Reuben it was a horrible service today. And Reuben would never do this. But I was in Tulsa buying my first car, and I went to this used car place, and I wanted a 1988 Impala because those cars can fly. My dad had one of those cars. Johnny, I mean, it just fly. You just put, it's like rockets, turbo. And so they had this car in green with nice big shiny tires, nice condition. It was out of my price range, but I wanted it. My flesh wanted that car. And so I sat down with the salesman, but then he just started hounding me. He brought the manager. He brought the sales manager. He brought the owner in. I mean, they were all ganging up, and little old me, and I'm sitting there, and I mean, they're writing up the contract, and they got it all worked out here. Just sign here. And I just, inside, I mean, I'm feeling all this pressure. And finally, I just said, and I just had to be, and I'm not a rude person, but I said, I'm not going to do this. I don't feel good about this. And I told them no. And they started cussing me out. These are the guys I was going to buy the car from. So I walked away from that. But see, the enemy, he wants to pressure you. What will people think? Expectations. People pleasing. Then we get into pride. I know best. Oh, I don't need the Holy Spirit on this one. I've done this in the past. I got this. That's pride. What happens with pride? Bigger the decision, the more attention and time I give to the decision. See, God works with peace. Let's look over Colossians. Colossians 3. Does it help any today? I just feel like people are in a place of making some big decisions. And I want you to make the right decision. I want you to be on the track that God has for you. I've missed it. Well, here, let me tell you what happened, okay? Let me tell you the end of the story. So I went through my whole process, and on the inside, I got the red light, I got the scratchy feeling, I got the no, don't do it, it's a mistake. Well, in my head, it's like, look what Eddie was saying, my head doesn't understand. My head's arguing with my spirit. They're going back and forth because this doesn't make any sense, because on the paper, it looks like the perfect thing. It's the dream job, right? But I've learned to listen to the guide, and the guide says, no, don't do it. He goes before me. He said, don't do it. I don't understand it, but I'm obedient, and I follow him, and I trust him. And I've learned to follow him on different, even little things, and giving $5 in the offering. Just little, I've learned to listen to that voice and listen to him. So I turned that job down. My boss was furious. And he, I don't know what it is. People like to cuss me out. He cussed me out. He basically said, you're finishing this company. Your career is over, which would be okay with me because I want to pastor Good News Church. But he was just hot. He called me an idiot, you're stupid, all these different things. And I just told him no. And he said, why? And I didn't have any reason. I basically said, I have no reason. Well, little did I know, had I taken that job, that my job in Johnston was going to be eliminated. And the controller in Augusta ended up having to do that plant and the Johnston plant. So two plants for the same price. And then, so my job was eliminated. I ended up getting a severance package from International Paper because of the merger. Had I taken the job in Augusta, I wouldn't have gotten the severance. They paid me 6 months to pastor Good News Church, gave me full medical care until we had Grayson. There you go, Grayson. Thank us, God, and International Paper. And to top it all off, when I left at the beginning of January, January 3rd, I got all my vacation time. I got a bonus for that first quarter. Biggest bonus we've ever gotten. I got that first quarter. See, the Spirit of God knows. He knows beyond just right here. What you can see and taste and feel. He sees beyond that, down the road, down the track. And so sometimes it may not make sense. And again, this is a process. This is a learning process. That's why we talk about you learn with the offering. Learn with $5. Learn with the pair of socks if you want to. That way you can practice with that and make some mistakes. You don't want to practice, have your first big thing with who you're going to marry, although if you have to, that's okay. Because we would not have been able to do what we're doing without this relationship. Our ministry revolves around our relationship. Did you find Colossians yet? Colossians 3. Verse 15, amplified. And this is, I'm talking about the green light here now, okay? And let peace, everybody say peace. Now I want you to say peace like you've just won the lottery, or, I mean, every need is taken care of, and maybe you're at the beach right now, and you're sitting out there, or in the mountains, whatever you love. I want you to say peace like with just like a, you know what I'm saying? Let's say it again. Peace. Let's say it again. Peace. We should do that more often. You know what peace is? Have you had peace? Peace isn't all these voices and 1,000 voices speaking in your head and driving you and pressure and all. And even though, I mean, Jesus had peace in the megastorm. In Jesus should be peace. In Jesus, one of the biggest benefits is peace. He's not looking to add more stress. He says, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Or it might be the other way around. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Same thing. And let the peace, the soul harmony. Who wants some soul harmony? I want some soul harmony. Turn to your neighbor and say it with some attitude. You got soul harmony. Parker, you got soul harmony. Which comes from Christ's rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. I like that. In that peaceful state, everybody say peace. Peace. Say it again, peace. In that peaceful state to which as members of Christ, one body, you are also called to live. You're called to live there. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Let me read one more scripture and we'll wrap this up. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13, verse 33, amplified. Let's put that up there. For he who is the source of their prophesying is not a God of confusion. Drama. I wrote in parentheses, drama. He's not a God of drama. If you're here today in a state of confusion, that's not God. The Bible says in James, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Is there a lot of drama in your house? A lot of drama at the office? When there's a lot of drama and a lot of confusion, things are out of order. He's not a God of confusion and disorder, but of peace and order, as is the practice in all the churches of the saints of God's people. We are not having drama at Good News Church. It's not going to happen. And we're not having drama in our staff. It's not going to happen. The devil tries to come in. I'm just going to look him in the eye, and I'm going to tell him to get in the name of Jesus, because you're not bringing that confusion and that drama into my house. So in the name of Jesus, get out. But you can have a lot of drama in here. And that's why you got to think about the things I was talking about today, because God's not about all this drama in your life. He wants to bring peace. He's got that for you. It's a benefit. It's a part of God's plan. Peace in your marriage. Peace in your family. Peace in your household. So we got to find the source of that confusion. And it's not God. It's the enemy. Somehow the enemy has gotten in. And so you can't fight that battle against the enemy in your flesh. You know, scream a little louder. Make more rules. More battles. I mean, where does that get? That just makes it worse. Anybody here today? Or did y'all go home? Or y'all kind of just thinking so much today? Or y'all thinking about lunch? As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons, these are the children of God. The Spirit of God is in us. He's our guide. He's got a track for our lives. Learn to develop, and it's a process. And learn from each other. We can help each other here. But learn to listen to Him. Start small, work your way up to the big things. Parents should be teaching our young people to do this. I mean, they shouldn't have to go through all we've been through. Imagine, you know, out of high school, making right decisions. I wasn't saved till I was 19. Did a lot of stupid things. Spirit of God is in us. Let's stand, everybody. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's just give Him praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray for the people today. There's some decisions being made right now that are not the right ones. I don't even know. I don't have anybody specific. I just feel that in my heart. There's some decisions being contemplated right now that aren't the right ones. They're not of God. They're not on the track that He has for you. So, Father, I just pray for those people right now. I pray for deception to leave in the name of Jesus, for that confusion to go right now in the name of Jesus, for fear to go in the name of Jesus. And may the peace of God come right now, God's peace. And if He's placed some people on your heart to go talk to, go talk to them. That's the Spirit of God. Now you're the ultimate decider. My job is not to decide things for people. I don't do that. I never do that when I'm counseling with people. But if He's placed someone on your heart to go talk to, go talk to Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's go ahead and catch hands right now. Let's pray for each other. We need to continue to pray here. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Just pray for each other. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your people have wisdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Wisdom. Lord, just your peace. Your peace. Hallelujah. Your peace in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. in the name of Jesus. Pray for each other. Lord, you protect us from the enemy. Protect us from ourselves. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now begin to declare who you are. Begin to declare that you hear from God. If there's confusion, tell it to go in the name of Jesus. It's got to go. If there's fear, tell it to go in the name of Jesus. The voice of the good shepherd we hear, and the voice of the stranger we do not follow. Lives are hanging in the balance. We'll make the right decisions in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're the God of wisdom. Thank you for wisdom. We receive it. You give it liberally. Lord, help us interpret back our prayers in the Spirit. Interpret back to our minds. Revelation, you come. Light, you come right now. Truth, you come in Jesus' name. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hey guys, put up Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 5 in the Amplified.